When CJ Leibscher is tempted to give in to worry and fear, she no longer meditates on the negative feeling. Instead, she's meditating on scripture.
It doesn't matter what I felt. I just continued to speak the truth out loud. And I mostly look like a crazy woman walking around the store, but I would say things out loud like, this is what Jesus says over me.
We're talking about going from panic to power, and that's coming up right here on the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
All right, welcome back, JCLP family. This is part two. That is right. It is Becky Johnson here, youth pastor of JC Sacramento. Banning is not present. We have kicked him out kindly and lovingly. We sent him away to the spa. He's relaxing. And we're here with some amazing women that you heard from last week in part one. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
I am CJ Leibscher.
I'm Erica Myberg.
CJ's the real boss of what goes on here. Mm-hmm. We talk about her a lot lovingly. Banning always honors you in his discussions.
Yes. Yeah, right.
And then Erica is our South African friend. And we are the future hosts of something very exciting.
Yes.
We announced last week the Jesus Culture Women's Podcast. It's coming up, CJ. April 10th will be the first official. JCLP family, don't worry. We're not getting rid of this podcast. We will still come every Wednesday with a JCLP episode. But the 10th of every month, we'll release one amazing women's podcast.
Yes.
We make no promises on what it will be about.
Nope.
It might be about poo.
It might be. It will most likely have at least one inappropriate story.
Definitely.
It might be about cycles.
Cats.
Cycles. We all love cycles.
It will be a women's only podcast.
Yes, so that men, one. Sorry.
Yeah. Someone said men should listen to it so they can learn to be better husbands and boyfriends.
It is true. Yeah, you would learn a lot.
Yes. So men, go ahead and mark your calendars for that.
We can teach you.
CJ, how are you feeling about the launch of the podcast coming up?
I am really excited. You know, I never thought I would do this. I'm not necessarily somebody who feels like I have a huge desire to be out there, but I have loved so much with our women's ministry, speaking to the women and just how empowered and encouraged they are just by sharing exactly mm-hmm. where they're at. So that's what I am hopeful for with this podcast, is that you get to hear real women talking about real life and the highs, the lows, how powerful women are doing it, how, you know, we survive just basic things like when our kids get the flu and puke all over us. How do you move on? And how do you get dressed up and still go to work like Becky does and be awesome? And how do you stay in bed like, say, I do?
And, you know, in the women's podcast, we will bring, I mean, maybe famous, air quotes, maybe people, but we want to bring in real women. We want to bring in the women that are just, we're encountering day to day. Because, you know, like, that's the few, that's the exception, the women out there with huge platforms, mm-hmm. and they're amazing doing what they're doing, and we will bring them in and we'll talk to them. But really, we want to bring you just, you know, we want to talk to single women and women in the community.
Yeah.
Maybe not even Christian women. Who are out there leading in the political realm and society. So we're just going to bring them all in and mm-hmm. and chat and kind of just, it's amazing to see what is inside women when you really just ask a few questions.
Yes, and to get outside of the box of what a mm-hmm. woman doesn't have to fit in a very small thing. We can do anything, but at the same time, there is real struggles we have to face to do these things, to step out of the box. It's not an easy thing. Like, I would love to talk to some women who are in the political world or out in the workforce where mm-hmm. men are. I mean, one of my biggest things with speaking, Banning used to always ask me to speak, and I was like, I can speak, but it's going to be me speaking. Like, I can't speak. I don't want to adjust and figure out how to speak like a man would speak. I want to speak the way I speak.
Yeah, I love that.
And but that's a challenge. And you can feel it, kind of the people look at you like, what are you doing?
Yeah, this isn't how it normally is.
I feel awkward now.
Yeah. So it's good. It's going to be, maybe we're still thinking of names. We could call it the awkward
The awkward hour.
The awkward hour. Ooh, that's kind of cool. That sums up CJ really well. Many people in conversations feel awkward because of the topic.
Well, she leaves feeling awkward.
Yes,
I do.
She goes for it
too.
She feels awkward.
So we're sorry if you feel awkward. You're going to get through this hour, we promise. Erica, how are you feeling about the Women's Podcast?
You know what? I was just sitting here thinking that what I love about us as women and just growing, and like even in my own life, the most healing and growing I've experienced is just getting to know myself.
Yes.
Getting to know me and embrace it and love the way the Lord put me together. And I feel like when we do that, we just take hands of women next to us where God has planted us, and we take them with on the journey. And you do life together. And I have loved that. I love that, to see women flourish where God has planted them.
That's so awesome.
When some of them have to move to a next garden or something to cheer them on. And that's a part that I absolutely love and look forward to just process about.
It's going to be really good. And these episodes, the Women's Podcast, might be 30 minutes. They might be an hour and a half. They might be 2 hours. We're just going to kind of go for it.
It's a gift.
Yeah, it's free form.
We might even cry.
Awkward hour.
Yeah, probably a little bit of crying. Cry.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll laugh. We'll cry. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be good. So CJ, I do, before we dive into the topic, I want to give you a chance to redeem something.
Okay.
So Banning, you probably don't listen to the podcast because you hear Banning, talk all the time, right?
Maybe not.
Yeah. But we have this like horrible reputation that every guest we bring on, we're like, do you listen to our podcast? They're like, no. Like Kim, Chris Kilala, like people don't listen to it. We're like, oh.
Okay. In my defense, you have to listen to a podcast like in a quiet moment.
That's
like
true.
Let's say your car's quiet, your house is quiet. That does not happen for me. If anybody catches me alone, they're like, what? You're alone?
Yeah.
Maybe on spring break if you keep the house dark and quiet, like I'm planning to do.
We can listen to podcasts. Yeah.
Perfect. So on the JCLP here, Banning, he kind of disses your dogs and he paints them as these really wild, untrained, untamed, rambunctious, crazy creatures that he hates.
Well, he's a liar. Okay, not really.
Some of it is true.
Yeah, it is.
I will say, though, that my dogs are the best dogs in the world. And I don't care what anybody else thinks.
Like when your baby's ugly and you're like, oh, isn't he
cute? Oh my gosh. Dash, okay.
So Dash is the bad one.
No, Dash is the best dog. He was very, very naughty for 2 years. He did eat our carpet.
Lots of my flip-flops.
He did.
Your still wall.
He
at
did,
one point he
no,
ate a wall.
I think that was Lily. Maybe Dash ate a hole in the wall. But, you know, it happens. But now Banning knows if he or Dash are going to be hit by a car, I need him to take the hit and save Dash.
Or can't he, like you said, you wanted his kidney for Dash.
Oh,
yes.
My
or something. If Dash needs a kidney, Banning needs to give up one of his kidneys. It is what it is.
Oh, my gosh. But I think what Banning doesn't share is he's kind of a sucker for Sunny.
Oh, okay.
So Sunny's the girl.
Yes.
Right?
And we got her a year ago.
What kind of dog is she?
She is a mini Australian Shepherd, and she's completely psycho. Like, yes. She's got big blue eyes.
Wild blue eyes.
Yeah, that stare at you like she's going to eat you.
She walks towards you with her butt as well.
Yes, she constantly throws her butt in your face. But I don't know why, because then when you reach to pet her, she moves away. I love my dogs, but I would let Sunny get hit by a car, but I will not let Dash get hit by a car.
Oh my goodness, the truth comes out.
Yes.
But Banning
would not. Oh, Banning is so stressed about Sunny. If the door opens, him and my son are like screaming, shut the door, Sunny's going to get out. And she's not going to get out. She doesn't run for the door. But one time she
Except
did run
one
away.
Time.
Yeah. And it was very scarring. In fact, don't ever bring it up to Banning like you know, but he did have to chase the dog without shoes on through the neighborhood onto a main street where our dogs were running wild. And our son is, I think he was
riding
11.
Riding a bike, yeah.
No, he wasn't riding a bike. He didn't have a shirt on. I don't know why. He was wearing his school pants unbuttoned. So there's, we looked. The dogs ran away. I jump in the car and I find Lake wailing halfway through the neighborhood with his shirt off and his pants unbuttoned. And I was like, get in the car. And he's
oh my gosh.
And I go out on the main street, and Banning Dash, because he's the best dog, had stopped to try to climb in a stranger's truck.
Oh my gosh.
And Sunny is just sprinting in circles, and Banning jumps on top of her. And then he's so mad he goes to hit her, and she takes off running again. Anyway, it was very traumatic. And now if Sunny is anywhere near the door, I think they both have a slight panic attack.
Oh my goodness. Didn't he have blisters and stuff on his feet?
Oh, he didn't just have blisters. He tore the skin off the bottom of his feet chasing the dogs to the neighborhood.
Oh my gosh.
So he says he hates them, but you don't sacrifice your feet for something
exactly.
You hate.
No. So there's the truth about Banning and Sunny. He has a very deep relationship with this dog. He like posts pictures when he's preparing his sermon. She lays there.
He loves Sunny. Mm-hmm. He used to sit and okay, let's just, raising teenagers can be hard, okay? And we have two of them right now. And we would sit with our dogs and we would say, You will always love us.
Oh my gosh.
You don't get mad at us.
Oh my goodness. See, and here's where the awkward comes in. So the awkward hour. All right, we are gonna transition into the topic right after this.
We want to share the music that is encouraging us right now. You are listening to the Jesus Culture Music Spotlight.
Hey, everybody. It's Becky here with our good friend, Carrie Jobe, for the Music Spotlight. Hello, Carrie.
Hey, Becky.
Thank you so much for taking some time while you're on tour. Are you like on a tour bus right now?
Literally. I'm in the back.
Awesome. It's not, I've been on a couple tour buses. It's like not as glamorous, I think, as people think. You're in these tiny little coffin-like bunks.
Yes, exactly.
It's like seasick, like wobbling while you're trying to sleep, and the bumps. Uh-huh. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, you feel everything. And I have to sleep with earplugs in too, because everything squeaks to me. Like everything makes noises and moves and squeaks, and I'm like, oh, I can't sleep.
Oh, totally. So. And you were just telling me that you are a little bit sick, so you're just working through that. Such a bummer.
I know. I have my little diffuser going right now, and I'm allergic to the spring.
Oh.
So everything that blooms, I'm like, it's so beautiful. So, and then I'm sneezing. So.
Oh gosh. So okay, you said diffuser. You're an essential oils believer.
Oh, yeah.
Me
oh,
too. Yeah. Come on.
I
all
love
right.
It.
You hear that, podcast listeners? We believe in essential oils. They work.
And yes.
I tell people, I'm like, even if they don't work, I think that they do. I'm fine if it's just placebo. Like,
if it's just mental, yeah, yeah, I'm fine with that too.
And they smell really good.
And it smells good in the meantime. So.
It's so funny. Actually, here at my office at Jesus Culture, I have my diffuser going right now. And when people walk in, they're like, wow, it feels so good in here. I'm like, yes, it's the diffuser. All right, we'll get.
Yeah.
We'll jump right in and not take up too much of your time. So we just want to talk about your latest album, The Garden, which, real quick, that album cover is beautiful. I was looking at it.
Thank you.
Was that like a drawing? Is that an illustration? Or what is that?
It's a real picture of me, but then they just like, I wanted it to look kind of like a painting as well.
It does,
like,
yeah.
Like kind of real, but kind of a painting. So they did a good job. I was so, so, so proud of it.
Oh, it's beautiful. Okay.
Thank you.
So can you give us a little bit of just, you know, the heart behind that album, your latest one, and the, you know, maybe a bit of the process of writing and releasing it?
Yeah, for sure. It you know, was written through a journey of me really processing some things with the Lord, just walking through some grief with my sister. She lost a sweet little angel. Mm. A little baby girl right at the end of her pregnancy, and real similar to the Kealalas, not quite as far along. She was 7.5 months. Mm. But still just like such heartache and so many questions of, oh God, like we prayed for a miracle and it didn't happen. And why not? And what is happening? What are you doing? And so I was already in a writing season for my new album, but I just started pouring my heart out into these songs of, whatever I was feeling that day, I didn't make any excuses for it or try to write about something else. I just wrote everything I was processing at the time. But I love that because I love that God, He knows what we're thinking anyway. And so I just love that I could bring everything I was thinking, everything I was processing, and just experience his presence in it. And, it's kind of a loaded, loaded question because it was a journey.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. And, you know, I feel that you can really feel that deep journey through the album. Yeah. I was listening to it the other day and I was like, wow. You can just tell that there's some real depth there and that there was quite the journey. That's really beautiful. Can you talk a bit about the title track, The Garden?
It's kind of a crazy, cool story. We had bought a house in Nashville. We had just moved to Nashville right before my sister lost her baby. And we had bought this house that had a garden, a flower garden in the backyard, but I didn't know. And I'm going to talk really fast so I can get all the details in. But my sister's baby's name is James Ivy. Mm. And so Ivy has just meant a lot to our family, and just doing kind of a word study of Ivy, it's a resilient, super resilient plant. And so there was this one day last year about this time that the garden in my backyard started blooming. And it was just about the time that I was really just ready for a season shift. I'd been really sorrowful and really sad, but yet, like, I had Canyon, my son, and so he was a couple weeks old at the time. And so, you know, this season of like grieving with my sister, but yet celebrating the life that was going on in our world. And so I look out my window this one day and realize that the garden in my backyard started blooming and it was covered in ivy.
Oh,
and wow. I was like, oh my gosh. So I walk outside and I just start walking into the garden, and it was a heavenly experience for me. It was just this moment of everything collided. I just realized, God, you knew what I needed. You knew that this was going to give me life at this very moment. And the timing, I mean, someone had to have planted that, those bushes and those ivy plants years ago for them to be as beautiful as they were and as lush and as mature as they were. And I just had this moment of realizing that God, he really does know every detail, and he's involved in every detail of our lives. He knows what we need. He knows what we're walking through. Mm-hmm. And if we'll choose to trust him, and if we'll choose to let his love break through the sorrow and break through the hard stuff, he'll show us that he's up to beautiful things. And so just really a cool story.
That's really cool. I love that. I love when God surprises us that way, and where, you know, you can't just say, oh, that's coincidence, or, you know, it's like, that is so the Lord, that ivy would be there and that you would, you didn't even know. That's so beautiful. So you are currently on the garden tour, right?
Yes.
And so what, describe a little bit of the nights and kind of what do you go in expecting or hoping that people get from these nights of worship?
We're just really, we're noticing people are coming so expectant to meet with God. And I think our culture has shifted in a way enough to know that people know if it's a night of worship, to come expectant, to come ready to worship. And I think people really are. And they've just been really, really strong nights. And we get towards the end of the night, we do miracles. And it's just been shifting something, and people just lifting their hands and their hearts to receive miracles and to pray for them. And we've started ministering to that. You know, we pause and do that and pray for people. And it's just been beautiful. Every night's been something different too, just kind of what we feel like the Lord's doing in the room. And
that's so cool.
It's not just like following a routine of doing the same thing every night, but we've just been able to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And They've just been really beautiful nights.
That's so cool. And you're out on the road, and our very own Brian and Katie Torwell are out with you.
Yes.
Has that been fun?
Oh, yes. They're amazing.
They're so cool.
And I love it, too, because I can sneak out and just kind of watch what's happening. And it just sets such a beautiful tone for the whole night. Mm-hmm. And they just carry such a strong anointing on their lives. And
so cool.
I just love that. The room just it's almost like feels like they're just embracing mm-hmm. everything that they're doing, and it just really helps set such a gorgeous tone for the whole night.
That's so great. What's it mm-hmm. like? You travel with your family, so your husband and your baby, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What's it like having a baby on a tour bus?
it's kind of tricky sometimes. I just have to kind of roll with it. He was up in the middle of the night last night.
Oh.
Just sometimes it just wakes him up, the bumps and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's pretty easy. I mean, he's so adaptable. And, he's only one, so he doesn't really know anything different.
Right.
Yet,
you know? He's just like, all
and
right.
And he can't really tell me if he doesn't like it.
That's awesome. So I love it because, you know, you're out there and you're leading worship and, you know, it's amazing. But then you're off stage and your mom, right? You're
exactly.
Playing with the baby.
Yeah, I haven't been able to hear Brian and Katie set every night because a lot of these nights that's right around his bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
So I always want to make sure to really take that time to give him a bath and mm-hmm. snuggle him, and we read books right before he goes to sleep. So that's really special. And then praying over him, and then I jump from that literally like 20 minutes later, I'm on stage.
Wow. So, all right. Well, I'll let you go. I know you've got a busy, full schedule, and I really appreciate you taking some time for
you.
Us. But before we go, I love to end our interviews with one question that I feel like I glean the most from it. But if you could tell yourself, your 21-year-old self, any piece of advice in regards to ministry or worship leading or whatever, what's something that you would go back and tell 21-year-old Carrie?
Oh, okay. I love this. You know, I think I would just tell myself to just take a deep breath and enjoy the journey.
Mm.
Because God doesn't put desires in our hearts to trick us. Like, I feel like everything he's put in my heart to do, I've gotten to do it in some fashion. It may have looked different than I thought it would, mm-hmm. but it was better than I thought it would be, you know. And timing, like, I just think, too, like, God is so in the details. And we want things quickly, but God does things over time, which mm-hmm. is kind of hard sometimes to just ride out the process. But, and you know, just staying planted in the house of God, I think that's the best thing I've always done, is just stay in community with people in church, and, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good.
That's really good. No, that's so good. You're a deep well, Carrie, and thank you so much. I personally have been super impacted by your ministry and Jesus Culture. We love you.
Thank
we're
you.
Huge fans, and we're praying for you and praying that you feel better and that the rest of the tour just goes well, and we can't wait to hear the testimonies.
Yes, thank you. Love you guys so much.
All right, talk we love you, soon. Carrie. Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Visit the Jesus Culture online store for our latest music, apparel, and books. This is more than a store for us. We create these products to share a piece of Jesus Culture's message with people all over the world. We're giving our JCLP listeners 10% off your purchase with the discount code JCLP. Go to store.jesusculture.com to check it out.
So we have been discussing the topic of anxiety and going from panic to power. And that title was actually taken from a book that really impacted you, mm-hmm. CJ. Go ahead and share about that book.
Well, actually, Chris Vallotton, mm-hmm. who has had his own journey with anxiety, he is the one who gave me this book. And when I started reading it, it was so profound because she put into words exactly the way my mind would work. Like, I remember her describing how an anxious person thinks, and I was like, oh my gosh, how do you get inside my head?
Wow.
And it slowly brought freedom for me to know I wasn't alone. Like, she talked, one of the other main points she said was, most people that have anxiety think they're going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you're not going crazy, but you think you're going crazy. And it was so, like, encouraging and gave me hope. Like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only person. Because I'm telling you, my brain had put me in, I was being locked away. They didn't have a place for me to live because I was crazy. And yeah.
And I think isolation is one of the main things, you know, we talk about this a lot. Like, you know, the enemy has tools, and isolation is one of those tools.
Yep.
And if he can isolate you, and then you think, you know, one of the greatest lies we say that the enemy tells you is you're the only one. You're the only one dealing with this. You're the only one walking through it.
Yeah.
And so this book kind of broke that open for you. Like, there's a book written on it. I can't be the only one.
It had stories of people in it that had walked through it. And this is bad to say, but it's okay. I say bad things.
Yeah.
I would go, I'm not that bad. And I'd read their stories like,
oh, we've all done that. We've all compared, like, you compare the, I'm not that good, but then it's like, oh, I'm not that bad either.
Like,
oh,
I didn't poop my pants there. That's good. Well, I think one of the stories, they pooped their pants. Anyway, maybe that was me, but.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So that's the book. We'll put that resource on the website because it's an older book, right? It came out quite a long time ago.
I've had it for a long time.
Yeah, so Panic to Power. If you are walking through this at any level, mm-hmm. this book would be good. It's not just for the people who are pooping their pants and think they're crazy.
No.
And Erica, you said in part one that you actually read it.
I did, you know, and I actually was blown away on the first page because I think she starts the book by saying that people who struggle with anxiety are actually super intelligent people.
Wow.
Because they manage to scare themselves with their own thoughts. They just take it one step further and then... Most of us. And because, you know, I have a daughter who kind of gets anxious. So most of us will think, oh, I'm going to drive to Reading in the car. It's going to be 3 hours. Oh, I'm so tired. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
They manage to take the process further. Like, you're in a car, okay? A car weighs this much. The chances of an accident is so big. And then if that accident happened, the chances of me getting hurt, and then they take that process just down the road.
Yes, that makes complete sense. I completely understand.
Absolutely,
what you're saying.
And I never knew that. Mm-hmm. That's something, as somebody who doesn't struggle with that, or I don't necessarily go down that road with thoughts like that, that was an instant eye-opener for me. Like, they are smart people.
Wow.
Really smart people who actually manage to do that. Me, not so much.
And don't discount them. You know, I think kind of like, oh, they're anxious. They kind of, you know.
They can't handle life. They can't handle responsibility, which is the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. We actually will probably think through it 10 steps and maybe even avoid issues that would have been there.
That leads us into the next question I wanted to ask you guys. So I'd like to hear from both of you, kind of on both ends of the spectrum. Like, Erica, what are some things that you would say to the listeners who maybe they're like you and they're like, panic to power. I don't need that. I don't panic. My husband is really low key. You guys know Derek. Super calm. It takes a lot to stir him. Me, on the other hand, I'm like, oh man, does not take much.
You aren't affected at all.
Bump me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you just diseased my body. Just the other day, I was staying with a friend who was throwing up in the other room. I had visited a friend. I drove up to Reading. It's 3 hours away, a really good friend of mine. And she gets sick. And I am just texting CJ and Derek both. Am I going to get sick? Will you guys pray for me? I slept, guys, with my mouth. I tried to keep my mouth in my shirt. And I'm like, now I know why people carry hospital masks. I need to carry hospital masks in my backpack, in the case, in the event that I am in someone's house who gets an airborne disease. This is what I need to do. And I just sweat on the air mattress. Don't touch anything. Becky, don't put your hands in your mouth. Don't rub your eye because it's an open.
Don't put your hands in your mouth.
So I'm like, oh, I was like, and then every time I like swallowed, I'm like, am I nauseous? Am I going to throw up? It was ridiculous. So yeah. So what's my point?
It's only Erica, funny now. In the moment, it's not
in
funny.
In the moment, I'm like, I'm going to be throwing up the whole way home tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah.
So Erica, what would you tell? So, you know, we've got listeners on both ends of the spectrum. What would you tell people? Maybe they're not walking through it and they're like, ah, I can't relate. But my best friend does, or right. my cousin, yes. or my sister, or my mom, or my spouse. What are some really practical tools that you've learned in walking this journey out with CJ on how they can be a support?
Okay, I've got like 3 points that I quickly thought of. My first one was, you have to be a listener, because I found with CJ, she just wanted to talk. She actually really enjoyed having somebody to get all the thoughts in her head out, because isolation, you sit with those thoughts and that's where you start to feel super crazy. So I was there and I just listened to her, to listen to this whole process, what was going on in her head, and you know, just give her a chance to do that. And then the second thing that I stayed away from is don't go into fix it mode, because it's pretty easy to listen what would bother the person, or what are they thinking about. And if you are a fixer, or you think that, you know, it will help lessen their anxiety if we fix every problem that they mentioned, that isn't helpful actually at all. So CJ and I would work through, you know, say she says, like, she's scared of driving to Reading. So I learned to ask, and I actually learned that from reading the book myself, was the what if questions.
Yeah.
So I would say, but okay, so what if? What if you get in an accident or something? And then we talk through that. And then, okay, but what if you land up in the hospital? And then we talk through that. And sometimes they serious, sometimes they silly, but totally for her to have a chance to process through the what ifs. Actually ended up lessening your anxiety. And we did this, you do it as much as you have to. Sometimes we have days that we what if, and other days we don't, you know. And then I felt like I was there, and for me, just being a friend, I wasn't walking with her because I'm a counselor. I mean, far from that. I was a friend, and I loved her. I love her. I love being with her. So much of this came natural, but I was there to remind her of who she is, and not necessarily preach at her, because she knows Jesus. She walks with him. She knows the Bible. But I was just like there to say, like, after a hard process or some tears, I'm just there to say, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it. And that's it. Just, you're going to make it. It's going to be okay. And to always remind her that if there was a non-anxious day, great day. Next day, super anxious. I'm like, I want you to remember you are moving forward.
That's good.
Because I think it's hard. People always feel like it's a failure. If I had a bout of no anxiety and then suddenly it's back, then they feel like they failed. They're back to square one. And I don't agree with that. I feel like we're walking with Jesus. He's our biggest fan, cheering us on. So when you get up and you face the next day, I'm like, you are moving forward. And this is to be celebrated.
Yes.
So I was walking with her and celebrated.
That's good.
Every single moment like that.
So those three were, be a good listener.
Don't go in fix it mode, and remind them of who they are.
That's so good. CJ, I'd love to hear from you on two things. What are like, we're getting ready to do a women's gathering where we're talking about this. Like, what are some things as you were walking through anxiety that people would say to you that were just so not helpful? I'd love to hear, what were the things that were helpful? Like, yes, this is what I needed and what I needed to feast on. And the things that were like, please don't say this.
Yes. Well, a couple of things Erica said were like super life-giving. Like, I remember I repeated to myself, she told me one time, that you're not going backwards. Like, it might be, you know, two steps forward, one step back, but you're always moving forward. And I remember on rough days just laying in bed telling myself, I'm not going backwards. I don't care what I feel. I'm not going backwards. And just holding on to that, like, no, I am gaining victory, even though today is a rough day. I also, if anybody could validate me, it was so life-giving. Like, sometimes travel scares me. I remember one time a lady looked at me and she goes, "Yep, sometimes when I'm on the plane, I think, well, if we all go down, at least my whole family's here."
Oh my gosh.
And as much as that may sound awful to say, for me, I was like, yes. Okay, you have those thoughts.
Yes.
And I respect you as a woman and yes. as a leader. And yet you have those thoughts.
Yes.
Because for me, I wanted to control those thoughts. Like, how could you have a thought of the plane crashing? Mm-hmm. Like, isn't God for you and good? And instead of going like, oh, I had that thought. Okay. And let it just slide on by.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the things that were just awesome, super life-giving, if you can't catch my sarcasm, were things like, if you would pray more, it would go away. Or, you know what? I think you need to get on stage more and face this fear, and then you won't be anxious. I was like, I'm sorry. You should move away from me because I'm going to punch your face, which I actually couldn't have done because I was so filled with anxiety. I was shaking too hard. But now I would like to punch him in the face.
Yes.
Just like these. And they're coming from a place of like they see greatness in you, but the way they do it just makes you feel like a pile of crap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I literally walked away crying multiple times. Yeah. And then I also had a tendency to overshare during this process. So I initiated a lot of conversations that allowed people to slime me because I wouldn't share with a friend. I would share with a random lady in Target how awful my life was.
Oh, my gosh.
And that you didn't get usually great responses then.
So don't share with
like,
random people.
Like, what's wrong with you? That's crazy. Because Erica brought up a rational fear, like driving. I also had fears like, what if my face gets overcome with hair? And I can't take care of it. Things like that. Okay.
Oh so my gosh.
When you share that with a random lady in Target, you can imagine what.
I just have a good visual of your face being covered,
covered in
hair.
Yeah. Like Bigfoot. Like, what if I become Bigfoot? Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I had my youngest, like, I found her like one night, 12 o'clock, crying in bed. And I'm like, what's going on, Emma? She's like, she is afraid of being a blob in heaven one day. And I immediately texted CJ, okay, I know. So I need your help. So between me and CJ and texting back and forth, I helped her through. I, first of all, the main thing was not to tell her, okay, that's ridiculous. Although I don't even really wonder about it because I don't know, but to validate her.
Yeah.
Like to say, and then to find out, CJ,
I was afraid of being
fear.
A blob too.
Yes. Oh,
when I was young.
Yes.
I'm not afraid to be a blob now, okay?
Oh my gosh.
So, yes.
So, on a more serious note, which I mean, hair on the face, it's serious. It's a real fear. Blobs
are a real thing.
It can be.
CJ, can you share a little bit about, and I know this from you helping me walk through these anxious seasons, on the importance of knowing the truth of God and, you know, not like out of a religious standpoint, know the word, but really like you have to know the word to get
yes.
through this and how that helped you.
Well, for me, the way my anxiety worked was I would wake up just drenched in sweat, shaking. I started the day off terrified of who knows what. It didn't matter. It wasn't necessarily connected to a thought. And it would lift around 6 o'clock at night. All of a sudden, I would have rational thoughts again. I would be normal. And so I knew I had that time to get some scripture in me, some truths in me. So that when it hit the next morning, here was my truth.
Mm.
So at the beginning, the only, to be really honest, the Bible scared me because I would read the Bible and you'd read like, this person died. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm next. And I know it didn't make any sense.
First Moses, now me.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. But I read Psalm 91 and I could read Psalm 91 over and over again. And the truths that he would speak to me through that, I think I read it for a year or two straight, every single night. And the Lord spoke something new to me. And to it is become like, I know that he loves me and that he will give me long life and protect me. Like, but that is what the Bible says to us.
Wow.
And so when I woke up drenched in sweat and terrified, I didn't have to feel it to believe it. I just said it out loud because I knew it.
Wow,
and that was one of my biggest things was it doesn't matter what I felt. I just continued to speak the truth out loud. And I mostly look like a crazy woman walking around the store, but I would say things out loud like, this is what Jesus says over me.
That's good. Yeah. That's so good. And you'll talk more about that as we dive in. But one final thing before we let you hear the second part of the message is, you know, I tell people that, you know, I speak a little bit about this too. I've had my own journey with anxiety and depression, and people say, so now that it's over, like, is it over? You just never deal with this? And I'm like, no, oh my gosh. And I say every day it is just one look away. It's always an option. It is right there. And I think that's true for all of us. Like, you know, you have a choice. And so what are some practical things, if maybe we each just share one, that you do to kind of, so to speak, look the other way, you know, on a day-to-day basis?
Well, for me, one of the things that I really try to do is I try to pay attention, like, is this something I need to deal with right now? Mm-hmm. Like, is this fear that is going on inside of me or this thought that is plaguing me, do I need to take care of it right now? Like, something simple like, I need to go to the doctor. Okay, just make the appointment. Don't let it hang on you.
Right.
Or if it's not, if it's like, are my kids going to grow up to be nice people?
Mm-hmm.
That's not something I can fix right then.
That's
and
good.
So I just try to like stop myself and look at what are you stressing about and just get practical with it for a minute.
Yeah, that's good.
But that's also when the anxiety isn't completely taking you over. When the anxiety is taking you over, you can't, it's very difficult to do that. For anybody that knows what that is like, that's a different thing. And for that, all I would do is be like, tonight we're going to watch SpongeBob.
Just
I'm dead serious.
Like it was just night by night.
I have something to look forward to. I'm going to sit with my son and watch SpongeBob, and we're going to laugh at nonsense.
Yes.
Because that's all I could handle.
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
Yeah. How about you, Erica?
Yeah, it's probably easier for my personality to do this, but I remember in the early days with you, see, too, that when things get just overwhelming, I encourage myself to stay in today because God's grace is enough for today.
That's
because
good.
Tomorrow morning when we wake up,
His
grace is new and for us again, and it's enough for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about tomorrow's stuff today. Stay in today's grace because it is enough for today.
I think even Jesus says that. Don't worry about tomorrow.
Totally.
It's the truth. That's
totally.
Good.
And I think I wanted to just you know, when you said work through the things that you stress about, we've become in the habit of making little lists.
Yes.
Sometimes it's like just write it out, all the things that stress you out, because some of them you can actually take care of, like call the doctor, make the bed, or pick up the poop in the backyard, or something like that. And it helps you to get it out.
That's good.
And if you make a new list every day, that's okay.
Those brain dumps. I just dump my brain.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's too much in there. I'm just going to make a quick little brain dump.
Yeah.
A brain poop.
Very, very helpful.
And there we go. We found a way to tie poop in. For me, you know, I'll hit those things every day. It's like, okay, there's this now. And I just quickly go, well, what is, if it applies, which applies to anything, what does God say? So I'm like, oh my gosh, are we going to have enough money next month to pay that bill? Well, what does God say? And if I really ask, God's not like, no, Becky, you won't have enough money, you know, or I'm nervous about that test result. Oh my gosh, I went to the doctor. What if it's bad? What if it's bad? What if it's bad? And I go, okay, God, what do you say? And what are you saying about this? And so it's just kind of there's two ways to look. I could look down this path, or I could just quickly look to Jesus. Please quickly tell me what you say. And so I hope this has helped you guys listening. And we're going to jump into part two of the message, and then we'll be back.
Start dealing with fear, anxiety, panic, a lot of irrational stuff. But we haven't even talked about even some of the fears were my son, who's 9 right now, when he was born, even different fears around him. So this fear was popping up in different areas. But then you deal with that for a pretty intense two-year period, pretty raw 2-year period after that. Is that right?
It was. Yeah, the first 4 years
were
intense.
I was pretty out of touch, so I don't know. But I'm kidding. I wasn't. I'm kidding. Hey.
It just came in waves, you know? you would have like, and then I was always really confident, like, I got it at the beginning, like, it's not coming back anymore. And then, like, shocked, like somebody hit it, threw a snowball in my face every time it hit me, like, what? You know, and like, so I had to learn that this is life, and things, hard things happen. You know, I think my childhood had been so filled with pretty traumatic tragedies that it was like, I think I honestly thought I was done with them. Like, I'm like, I have hit my quota. Nobody else has been through all the crap I've been through, so I'm done. And it's not going to happen anymore, which I was like shocking at 30 when I still had hard things happen. It was like, what? Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is not fair, you know? So I had to learn how to find God's goodness no matter what you were walking through. And that was probably, I had to learn how to not be scared to walk through life. You know, like there's going to be disappointments. My kid broke his arm, which was always scary. And then to see like, oh, he's okay. Look how God took care of him. Look who God brought the right doctor. And, you know, I think I just had a my brain was off in that it was like, if I walk this way, nothing bad will happen. And it was like, no, but God will always be there. He's always good. You're never going to be overwhelmed with anything. You know, like, he's just good. We have a choice to walk through peace, walk with peace no matter what. And when I finally figured out how to grasp his peace, no matter what I was walking through, things massively changed. You know, it was like, okay, my kids can do this. My husband can be gone and I can have a tree fall over in the backyard and flooding in a house and I'm okay. I'm all right.
Can you describe some of that? Because a lot of what you were scared of was really unknowns. Like, well, what if this happens?
Yes.
What if this happens? I'm not sure if I can handle if that happens. I'm not sure if I can handle if that happens. Even though they weren't even things that were going to happen, the thought of if it happens, I can't handle it. You were almost scared of being scared.
A normal person stops at a logical place. Mine just raced down the track. You know, it was like, I wasn't worried, you know, so the whole, like, cancer. It's like, you don't want to die. But I went all the way down to my kids living without me, to them having kids, to like four generations, like needing me, you know? And like, it was just like, and then by then I'm like wrapped in a tornado. There's nobody can talk me out of it because I've completely got myself into a panic attack and it makes no sense. But it does to you in the moment. And so I finally learned how to stop that. Yeah, like, oh, the first thought of fear, stop. Hey, does this line up with what God's word is over my life? And I think one of the things that matters to me is that people understand what that really looked like. It wasn't just this, like, I just said, oh, that doesn't line up, and I just walked away. It was a choice, and it was a battle. You know, like, it wasn't just this easy snap my fingers, and then I never had that thought again. It's a choice to choose to walk in peace and to choose not to let fear be in your life or depression or whatever it is, that it doesn't get to be there, but it doesn't mean you don't have to walk it out some days. You know, you don't have to wrestle it and say, no, you still can't be there. No, I know everything else lines up and says I could just dive into this and wallow in it for a while, but I don't get to today.
We want this environment to be a safe place for people not to have it all together. Now, we also want to be a place where we kind of call out and challenge and require you to continue to grow and press in and not stay where you are. But the reality is the church is not meant to be a place where, like, hey, make sure you have it together before you walk through those doors, you know, and get it together out there and then you can come in here. We understand, listen, we don't have it together. We all try to put on a face like we do, but we don't. And we're all on this journey, and we want people to actually understand what God thinks about them, not feel this shame and this guilt, and we should have it together and be better. And again, not everybody deals with a deep level of anxiety, but we all deal with stuff. We all deal with fears on different levels, and we all deal with things that we're pressing in on and believing God for and trying to get breakthrough on. And we really do want that shame thing to be lifted off. And we want you to know, like, God's not upset with you. He's not mad at you. He's not irritated and frustrated. And he's not telling you what your head's telling you sometimes. He's not. And if he was to show up face to face with you, he would look at you and be extremely proud of you. Yep. And I know CJ, watching her walk through this fight, I just am like, somebody asked me the other day, how'd CJ get through it? I'm like, I don't know, she didn't quit. Like, honestly, I'm like, we don't even have easy answers for you except for this. Some of the most brave people I know are not people that haven't gone through a fight. They're those that didn't quit in the middle of the fight. Even though it took some time, even though it was a journey, bravery is around, just don't quit. You know, I mean, you hear those sayings, it's a silly saying, but if you're going through hell, don't stop. That's the, you know, if you just don't stop. And there really is freedom on the other side. There really is power. This isn't just a thing, but it is a journey. I think the Lord would show up and say, I'm proud of you. I'm proud that you're brave. I'm proud that you haven't quit yet. I'm proud that you're doing the best you can to believe my word, to get in my word. And we want you to feel that today. Whatever, again, whether you can relate fully to feeler, you know, anxiety type stuff or whatever you're on, we want you to feel that. Before we kind of wrap up, a few more minutes. Yeah, go. Yeah, jump in.
I was thinking there was one time I was really worried about how could I walk through something and not be perfect as a mom. You know, like, I need to have it all together. I'm a mom, these kids rely on me. And somebody just spoke over me that it shows your kids more if you walk through something and get to the other side than if you were perfect all the way through. And that was so life-giving for me. Like, you know, like we talk about, like, I always make sure I want to apologize to my kids when I say something rude to them because I want to show them, like, we make mistakes. But it was so life-giving for them. I mean, it was hard for them. Their mom was not fully functioning for a few years. But then at the end, they get to see me now. Like, hey, there's nothing that can take us out, guys. This is what it looks like to walk in the fullness. And it was a battle, and it was hard, but this is what it looks like to walk in the fullness.
JCLP listeners, you don't want to miss the launch of the Jesus Culture Women's Podcast. This will be an additional episode brought to you on the 10th of every month. CJ Leapshire and special guests will discuss topics relevant to women in every season of life. Men, tune in to grow your understanding of the wonderful ladies in your life and let them know about the new Women's Podcast. Ladies, we want to hear from you. If there are topics you are interested in, let us know by emailing your ideas to podcast@jesusculture.com. Join us April 10th for the first ever Jesus Culture Women's Podcast.
All right, it's that time. It's the time we say goodbye. We will be back next week. Don't worry, Banning will be back. But April 10th, mark your calendars, the first ever Jesus Culture Women's Podcast. And that name might change. I'm really going to contend for the awkward hour. I think that's kind of awesome. The awkward hour with CJ Leapshire and friends. With CJ, the South African, and Becky, the youth pastor.
There we go.
What do you get when you cross a South African, a youth pastor, and CJ? The awkward hour. We hope you've enjoyed this and that this message has spoken to you. We love getting feedback. So please leave a review on iTunes or email us podcast@jesusculture.com. We really do read the testimonies and we want to know what you're walking through and what you're getting out of this. Yeah. And if you have an idea for the women's podcast, we'd love to hear from
you. Yes.
So yeah, go ahead and email us podcast@jesusculture.com, or you could just shoot us a quick tweet. Hey, this would be a cool idea for the women's podcast. Here's a topic I'd love to hear more about @JC Podcast. All right, guys, until then, have a good week.